anybody still out in the lobby, feel free to make your way in. Feel comfortable to eat in here, eat lunch in here, and we're going to get started. All right, so the purpose of this meeting is to plan our work for the church, to plan our kingdom work. Chris, I think, in the sermon today used the word intentional. So we want to be more intentional about what we're doing for Jesus. That's the whole shtick with this. We know we're imperfect. We know we want to be better. We know Jesus wants to make us better. So we want to make ourselves available to be better at kingdom work for God. So the obvious question is why? Why? The answer to that is not because what we're doing is bad. I think we're right where God wants us to be. There's a lot going on with the church that's real positive, with the ministries that are going on, with the lives that are being changed, with the lives that are being impacted positively. I think we have, as much as we can be, a lot to be proud of as believers and workers and members of part of this body of Christ. But we want to be better. You know, if you want to have a great marriage, you have to think about what does it take to be, to have a good marriage, right? If you want to be good at your job, the best way to do that is to figure out what does it take to be good at my job and be intentional about it. So, yeah, we want to be intentional. Let's be intentional collectively about being awesome kingdom workers because Jesus is worth it, right? What else is there that's more worth our time and our investment in our lives than Jesus and God's kingdom, right? So that's where we're going today. So that's the purpose. One of the first things that we talked about, so we're going to talk about the organization that we have at present. We're going to talk a little bit about biblical church organization and the example that the Bible gives us, and talk about how we're going to fill those gaps like deacons. You might have seen in the shout-out, we'll be looking for deacon nominations. And it's a biblical thing. We have not had them, presumably because we haven't had the opportunity to have them, but we want to do a lot. We're putting it into high gear now, and this is where we're going. And it's going to take everybody. So appreciate y'all being here, and I hope you're either taking notes or have a good memory and thinking about how this pertains to you or our church body. And so we'll just go on. So one of the first things that we've identified is how we communicate as a body, as an organization. We want to continue to improve how we communicate. One of the things that has helped our communication is Camille doing the shout-out. So I hope everybody's plugged into that. And if you're not, let Camille know or Coop know, or like Carol said, put it in the thing behind the seat, whatever. If there are any other ways that we can communicate better that you can think of, make it. The thing, you know, bring it up to myself or to Coop or to Stephanie or to Camille or one of the other people that we'll be talking about that are available to that have made themselves available to make things happen. So we want to be better at communication. We want everybody to know what's going on as much as possible as far as the ministries that are happening in our church, the availability to do other things. Maybe you see a ministry that we don't have that maybe we need, or a way to do it better. We want to know about it. We want better communication. Oh, okay. Live stream.
It takes everything live, and anybody can watch it from anywhere.
We do have something like that. Like the services, I think. Okay, so that might be. Right. Yes, so perhaps we have room for improvement there. We can be more active as far as what we make available as far as internet content. So that is definitely something that we can do, which leads to opportunities to serve. Something else that we want to address as a group is how we're organized, which, of course, is part of the whole biblical example of how we're organized. Part of that is also operational procedures. We want to start writing down what we do so that we can see how it looks on paper, and if it needs to be changed, we can change it on paper. And then we'll have a better idea of what we're doing good and bad and what we could do to be awesome for Jesus. So operational procedures is something that I am currently working on. I've been talking with folks involved with the various ministries. It'll affect everything from how we count the money to the worship team. I've been having some communication with Isaac, going back and forth in emails, and basically I've been asking questions, and he's been answering and sharing his thoughts and how things are done, and basically I'm just trying to facilitate, not dictate, about what we're doing so that we can write it down and just be better at it, so that leaders can think about how to be very concise with their thoughts of any of the given ministries, and so that people who are not part of that ministry can see it and be involved with it if they want to, or pray about it. And so it's a way for us to be better. So there's that. It'll also help with our transparency. If anybody's got any questions about things, it'll be easier to get that information because we want to be transparent. There's nothing to hide with kingdom work, and we don't want anybody to feel like that's what's happening, right? So there's that part of it. So let's talk a little bit about where we're at right now as far as the organization. It starts off with the church, right? So when you see the word church in the Bible, it's actually a Greek word called ekklesia, right? And the literal meaning of that is an assembly of people. That's all it is. It's an assembly of people. But like most of what we understand in the Bible, it has to be understood in the context with which it's being spoken. And in the context, biblically, it's talking about believers. So it is a body of believers, and that is it. It's not a building. It's not an organization. It's actually people. So let's think about that and remember that, especially right now in the context of this discussion. When I say church, the word church, or when you think the word church, think about it literally as people, not buildings or things or organizations. And that's a big step in helping us realize the importance of what we do as individual Christians having an impact on the kingdom of God. That's like super important. That's the foundation of what we do as believers. Okay? So the next step is Pastor Chris mentioned the scripture Ephesians chapter 4 starting in verse 11, and he had mentioned the various gifts and ministries. So let's look at this like this. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about five, they call it the fivefold gifts, right? Anybody remember what they were? Pastors, evangelists, prophets. Right, exactly. Okay, so those five gifts are gifts that are mentioned in other parts of the Bible regarding spiritual gifts. What's different about Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, God is actually talking about people who are going to work at ecclesias, work with groups of people to organize. And what is the purpose of that? There's a specific purpose of that, to help believers mature, right? So these gifts, I think when God said these are gifts, they're spiritual gifts, but they're actually gifts that God gives to called out assemblies of believers, okay? So how often do you think about, literally then, I guess, your pastor as a gift to our church? So, you like that? I didn't write. It's not for you. I think it's biblical. But you are cool. So literally, I think God, and interestingly, because you look at those fivefold gifts, first thing is the apostle, the very first step in building a body, right? Evangelist, prophet, pastor, teacher. This is all a progression about the growth of a body of believers. We, as Christ Community Church, are at that stage in our growth as a body of believers that we need a pastor, apparently according to God's planning, okay? So we're going to call the pastor the called one for the sake of this topic for the next few minutes, okay? Because that's important regarding the organization of how we do business and the what we see biblically, okay? So the calling is actually what makes it different. The fact that some of you maybe feel like you might be gifted to teach, but you're not a pastor or you're not a full-time minister. The difference is that God calls someone like Pastor Coop to change his life, to commit his life more fully to engage in kingdom work. That's actually the difference, okay? It's just a different vocation of the same type of work where some of us might be called to come in and teach Sunday school or doing whatever regarding shepherding or teaching or whatever, okay? So that's the different. The calls are based on spiritual gifts. It's just that the jobs are different. The calling is a challenge of dedication and commitment to allow more time and energy and resources to affect that calling, okay? So that's really the easiest way to think about it. This calling is also the basis for his spiritual authority, okay? Because God's the only one that has authority over us, but when you look at someone like the position of a pastor, Pastor Chris doesn't have any literal rule over us, but he has spiritual authority over us based on the fact that God called him to be our spiritual shepherd. So, for example, if Chris pulls me aside and says, hey, you're not doing right by God. It is not a Christian thing to do. Whatever, you should repent. I've got to stop and take that seriously because God has called him to have spiritual authority over my life. Or if Pastor Chris comes to me and says, hey, I think you should think about this, whatever spiritual issue. I'm going to stop and think about it. Or if Pastor Chris gives us instruction during a sermon that he's speaking, we're assuming that he's speaking words that God has given him based on the spiritual authority of his calling. Okay? So that's really the basis of the calling when we see those five called positions. The purpose of the five callings is to equip and build the church, to strengthen and mature believers in their faith, and something else that he mentioned in the sermon today, your priesthood, okay? Got to realize every single one of us has a priesthood. What in the world is that? Every single one of us has a job to do on this earth while we're waiting for God to take us home. We have a job to do. If we didn't, he'd have taken us home already. It's that simple. It really is. What is it that God has you to do? Prayer ministry, missionary with Nate, whatever it is. It may be something that you might think is simple. It may be something that you think is monumental. Who knows? Who knows what it is? You'll never know until you ask God what it is. Believe me. Right? Matter of fact, at the beginning of this year, I prayed and said, God, I want to be more useful to you. Don't know what that means. Don't know how to. Don't know what's going on. Because of Camille and I, the way we've been traveling and moving, we lived in Germany for so long, moved back here, looked and looked for a church, wasn't really settled on anything, ended up at Christ Community Church. God, I want to be more useful to you. Just to be more useful to you. Whatever. And you know, I had no idea what that meant, but I find myself having a lot more work to do, kingdom-related work, I had no idea what it would be at the time, but God revealed it to me, as he does when he answers our prayers like that. So it's just that simple. God, I want to be more useful to you, whatever that means. And like Pastor Chris said, it's unlikely he's going to have you do something that you just absolutely despise, right? Because he works with us where we are. A lot of people don't realize that. I'm into history. Next thing you know, God has me dressing up in Roman armor and talking about the Bible in front of people. Awesome. Who would ever have imagined that? I just, you know, it's because God uses us where we are, okay? So you want to share your calling with Chris had prepared. He wants to share with us his calling, what he feels like his calling from God to ministry, which is, at the moment, on our behalf. So do you want to do that now? Okay.
Thank you very much, Cora. So simple and sweet. Obey the Lord to come here, and the calling that God puts on my heart over and over again is to preach and lead folks to come to maturity and understand who they are as part of the body of Christ and have a holistic life, meaning that your marriage, your family, every part of you reaches wholeness, spirit, mind, and body. And the way I've seen so far for that to come across, obviously, is through the scriptures. That's why I share a lot of scriptures when I preach. But wanting you to be whole, discover who you are, and continue to walk in that maturity with the Lord. That's really it in a nutshell.
You got me here? Okay. So, I knew there was a calling, right? The next step, and so this is like a two-way thing. Chris shared with us his calling now. We can understand by faith in God that God has brought him here for just that, which first of all means we can depend on him for that, we can rely on him for that, and we could also work with him to that end. Right? It's a partnership. That's why God has put us together, us as a body of believers, with Chris, the called one, with the gift. Okay? So, something else to keep in mind as we're thinking about how we work through this. So, the next step involves us as a body of believers more directly regarding our organization, and that is the position of elder or overseer in the church body. Okay? So, there are places like Titus chapter 1, or in, say, verses 5 through 9, that details the requirement of this position. First of all, that they're blameless or reputable regarding their family life and Christian walk with God. That they're level-headed, hospitable, holy, disciplined, and Bible-driven. So it almost sounds like that should be the goals of every believer, right? And everybody's at different places in their walk with God. But it's a situation where we find that a person is being set apart by request once their qualification has been noticed or identified. And they're set apart, biblically speaking, by age and or maturity, and that is the basis of their authority, meaning their ability to work and serve in the church, okay? So in verse 9 of Titus chapter 1, it explains God's plan for this position as being for instruction in and defense of biblical doctrines. And by extension, the work that's being done. So there's a practical application to that as well. In Acts chapter 14, that verse illustrates that elders are chosen from the church body by the called one. Okay, that's the biblical example that we've got. In our case, the pastor, right? So that is the example that we have to go by in the scriptures. So Acts chapter 15, the chapter, if you read through that, basically is an illustration that the practical job of the elders is to preside over the administrative and spiritual matters of the body and the work of the church in partnership with the pastor. Okay? Slightly wordy, I know, but that's basically it, just to be a little concise about it. What we have at the moment is what we call the board of directors. That's the official name of this group of people, the board of directors, which I'm guessing the name is an extension of from when the 401 for the church as a legal entity was first set up. And it's just never been changed. It doesn't really need to be changed, I suppose, is what's in a name. The board of directors is actually a group of elders. That is what we as Christ Community Church have. So, biblically speaking, we're in good shape following the Bible at that point, okay? The board of directors is five people, including Pastor Chris by default, which makes sense, right? It is also the treasurer, which is Carol, the secretary, which is Roxanne, an elder at large, which is Seth, and myself, whom Chris asked me to pray about being the vice president of the board of elders just to, whatever, help organize things. So that is what we have at present. If that changes in the future, presumably it will be at Pastor Chris's discretion based on his biblical requirement to maintain a group of elders to help with the work of the church. Presuming, of course, also that the elders are people who are the type of people who can get along with the work. What good is having an elder in position whom nobody trusts, for example, within the church, which goes back to the requirements and the kind of the biblical requirement for Chris to make sure that the biblical requirements of elder are being held at a high standard, okay? So that's what we've got. If anybody's got any questions about that, if you want to know more about me or any of the other elders, feel free to contact any one of us or Pastor Chris. Be glad to talk about it because everything is again, working on communication, right? So that's where we're at. I think we're in good shape there biblically. So again, practically, what our goal is as elders is to help manage the operation of the church body with practical things like oversight of the budget and finances and the records that are being kept properly. Roxanne she's the secretary. She's got it all figured out. She's always telling us sign this, do whatever. She's got a handle on it. Our assets need to be managed and kept track of for legal reasons. Our ministries need to be overseen so that there's not duplicate work being going on and people aren't wasting their time or maybe people need help. These are the kind of things that the elders are there to do. Okay? We are also there, and this is a commitment, to provide servant leadership to the church and mentorship to individuals. That's our job. Okay? So it means if you have any questions about things or Chris isn't available or you would like to talk to one of us, it's the elder's job to be available to mentor people, to teach, right? Because the Bible says it's our job to teach and to combat false doctrine, okay? So it is also part of our job to be involved with kingdom work, with ministries within the church. And you'll see that every one of the elders at the moment is involved with different ministries in the church, Seth and the worship, and Roxanne with Sunday school, and so on and so on. Camille and I are involved with the small groups. So that is our job. Any questions so far? Okay. So the next step is where we hope to progress, and that is the office of deacons. Okay. Literally, that means minister servant, okay? Acts chapter 6, the chapter, basically, illustrates that as the church thrives and grows numerically and spiritually, the ministry of the church grows too much for the called one and or the elders to do all by themselves, So it's not a matter of greater or lesser work. It's a matter of magnitude of work rather than importance of work. So everybody in the military, we call it lanes of responsibility, right? I may be doing one thing, and the next lane of action may be close to mine, and I may be tempted to jump into that lane and do it, but guess what happens to my lane? I lose control of it, and the other guy who's working on that lane gets all messed up because now there's somebody jumping in his business, and undoubtedly we're not communicating as well as we should be. So everybody needs their lane of responsibility, and what we're trying to do is clarify those lanes and get more people involved to do the work, because it's just as much about people working and growing as it is just about getting work done. It's not just that we want to have any particular ministry. We want people involved with that ministry from the organizational end who are growing as well as the people receiving the blessing of the work being ministered to. Just as important. It's absolutely just as important. So, Acts chapter 6, verse 3 instructs that deacons were chosen by the church body to lead the church's active ministries. That was the biblical model we have, okay? Acts chapter 6, verse 6 explains that the chosen deacon candidates, the people that the church chose, we'll call them candidates for the time being, were brought to the church leaders, in other words, primarily the pastor, for confirmation into their ministries. And the practical reason for that is, for example, I have nominated a few people who I believe are qualified according to the biblical qualifications, which are basically the same as elder qualifications. It's just a different job, not a different standard of lifestyle. Same qualifications, just a different job, okay? I have nominated a few people by contacting them and asking them to consider it, taking the position and praying about it. But before yay or nay is decided, the called one, the pastor, wants to talk with that person for a couple of reasons. First, to make sure that the biblical standard of requirement is held at their appropriate level. And, for example, if there are skeletons in somebody's closet they don't want to talk to me about, they could talk about it with Chris, perhaps being more comfortable because their spiritual well-being is safeguarded with his calling. Okay? So there's that. Once that is worked out, which is a simple process, obviously, then the confirmation takes place, and we have this big, happy deacon confirmation, and Christ Community Church has deacons. So that's basically it. That's what the biblical example is. So, That's totally subjective. If anybody has any ideas about what they think Christ Community Church needs numerically, we totally welcome that dialogue. So it's kind of up in the air. Part of that, I'm sure the number that we come to will be partly determined by how many nominations we have and people who are willing to do it who are qualified. And then at that point, it'll be a matter of, along with the operational procedures, we're working on where we need deacons as far as having them plugged into particular ministries to help with the organization of the kingdom work that's happening, and general servant leaders that the deacons will be. So we're in a process of praying about that. So again, if anybody has any suggestions or insight on that, or pray about it and feel like God has spoken to you about it, please let us know, any one of the elders. It's something that we'll be talking about in our next elder meeting on November 14th, or talk to Pastor Chris directly and share your insight with him. We totally welcome that. Okay, so... Right. So that's exactly right. The work of a deacon, first of all, organize and manage the church ministries, identify areas of need for service, identify specific needs of existing ministries, providing assistance, and the way they can do that is either help if they have a means to help themselves or coordinate with elders or other available resources to facilitate the help that that ministry requires, okay? What you're talking about with the widows and the that is an example of what that church body needed at that time, okay? So helping widows and children is definitely a biblical part of what the body of believers should be doing. There are other needs also, so it's not just that. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Maybe you don't know yet either until it evolves, but
no, okay.
Like
sure, okay. It's not real tangible. I get it. I totally understand. So, name a ministry.
Children's ministry.
Do you have needs?
Yes.
Okay. The deacon's job, perhaps we'll have a deacon assigned to children's ministry to help you with those needs, whatever those needs may be. Hey, I need this. I need this whatever. I need this prayer. I need this help talking to this person, or maybe a house visit is in order to do some personal ministry with a family who you've identified in need through the children's ministry. Those are the kind of things. If it's something more than Roxanne or this deacon can handle, maybe they bring it to the elders or to Pastor Chris. The organization, that would a very good example of that, yes. Or, for example, a family member passes away. It's an emergency situation. Chris needs help. He's got a group of deacons who have committed themselves to serving the church. Those are his first go-to people to help with that situation. Maybe the first deacon he calls is busy or can't answer his phone. He's underground. But that's why we'll have more than one deacon. Okay, and so on. So that is definitely an example. When I was working in aviation, I had several occasions where I was in a position of authority and whatever. The first thing I did every time I took a position of responsibility is to identify one of my coworkers who would agree to be my go-to guy. So that if something happens, if something came up with a customer who came in with his airplane and there was an issue, blah, 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 and something else needed to be done while I gave him that attention, I can call that guy on the intercom and say, come to me right now. I need your help. And he'd come to me no matter what happened. I knew he can do it faithfully and in a trustworthy way, and he was good at it, and he was my go-to guy. That's what God wants, and that's what a deacon is. Chris just happens to be the voice of the work of the ministry at the moment. Okay? So, very simple in that regard. So, how this will shake out with the deacons, hopefully, God willing. Anybody who would like to nominate yourself or someone today, you're welcome to do that. You're welcome to nominate yourself, to pray about it, or say, hey, I'm willing to pray about it and let's talk about it in the future. We welcome anybody who would like to do that. And what we would like to do is get everyone's nominations before November 14th. The group of elders will meet with Pastor Chris. One of our intentions at that time, it's a Wednesday, is to share all the people who we are aware of who are willing to do or to take the position of servant leader deacon. Okay, and at that time, Chris will take those names and pray about it and begin the process of talking with those nominees to ensure the actual biblical qualification of that person and their willingness to serve, right? So that's how it'll go. So we ask, that being said, Camille? Good question. I should have clarified that. Yes, is the short answer. I have asked myself a couple of ladies in our church who I believe are qualified to pray about it. I believe it's biblical. There's women deacons in the Bible. I know there's some issues with some folks have of women, authority, whatever. If there's any questions about that and that needs to be discussed in your heart and mind as an individual, be glad to have that discussion with you, me personally, or Pastor Chris, presumably, or Stephanie, if you're a lady and would just like to speak to another lady about it. I believe it's biblical. Most of the people in the church believes it biblical. I know I've talked about it with Pastor Chris, and he believes it's biblical. I personally think it's important to have a woman's insight and input to balance the... Right. we won't even go there. Okay. So anyway, yes, we hope that we are able to have some women deacons in our church, in our church body. So if you're interested, please make it known to us before November 14th. We will be meeting at 6 p.m. Okay? So at 5:59, let us know, at least. Okay. Roxanne's question was, do I have a list of what areas the deacons need to be serving in? The answer is no. I have actually personally been making a list of suggestions where, from my perspective of what I see was going on in the church, where we might need some deacons' help. And then there are also just the deacon at large, who is part of the group of deacons, not necessarily assigned to a particular task. Okay, so there's that also. Excuse me, if a deacon nominee feels like they have the spiritual gift of some particular thing, right, that is exactly, that is definitely an opportunity to jump right into a position. There's also the reality that if someone has a gift for something that the church is not actively involved in, the church would be remiss if they didn't create an opportunity for any individual to work into their priesthood and develop their gifts and work in their gifts. So if there isn't something, we'll make it. It's that simple. We'll make it happen, because the servant leadership aspect of developing believers into their priesthood is just as important as serving the people who are being served. Equally important. Okay, so it doesn't matter what it is. The only important thing is that believers pray, God, are you calling me to the position of deacon, servant, leader? That's the only question that needs to be answered between you and God. So, November 14th, 6 p.m. So, there's that. Now, something else that we're working through, which is worth its own dialogue about, is our finances. So, the church has been operating within their finances without a budget. We want a budget because we want to have a budget because it'll help us be more purposeful on God's behalf with his money. Pastor Chris talked a little bit about money today. We all realize, right, that our money is not our money. Does everybody realize that? It's actually God's money that he has blessed us with the trust of that money. That's just the reality of a believer's life in this world. Everything we have that's good comes from God. Okay? Our material assets and our income are part of that. So we want to be good at it. We want to be the best at it that we can be. And we want our body of believers to be in that position also. So our goal is that by the end of the year, we have something resembling a workable budget that will carry on into how we operate our finances indefinitely. Carol has been working vigorously at this. She's a machine. I hope everybody appreciates the work that Carol does, because she really spends a lot of time with this. She's been learning about how to build a budget. Our goal is to have two people work with Carol, because she can't do it all herself. And that, again, is part of the process. You have the called one, you have a group of elders, and you have the group of deacons and a body at large. We all need to be working together at all the different levels to make it happen. Carol is the elder representative of potentially three people is what we're looking for. We would like to have a deacon work with Carol and one other person. We would like to call it a finance ministry. Sounds very English, the finance ministry. And this ministry of three individuals will help build the budget, working with Carol. And at that point, hopefully with some prayer, that three group of three people will stay together to help maintain financial responsibility of what we do financially, okay? So it's a current need and an ongoing process at the same time. There is one person who has committed to this already. Once we get everything worked out, names will be just thrown out there in front of God and everybody. At the moment, we're still looking to build things, but we have one person who is committed to work with Carol. We would like one more person to nominate themselves or someone else for consideration to be a servant of the body of believers for finances. That is definitely something that is a gift everybody doesn't have. If you've got the gift of dealing with money successfully, let myself or any of the elders or Pastor Chris know, and we'll pray about that third person and getting that thing. We want to get that going as quickly as we can, obviously, to start building something, to have something tangible by the end of the year. Okay, so please pray about that, and let's make that happen, because that's an important step of our ability to do kingdom work, because money is a thing, right? It's just how the world is. Money is a thing. So please pray about that. One more person. So the last thing I wanted to just reiterate some things about finding your priesthood and our ability to serve God together, our ability to work in partnership with the called one that God has sent us. Big question to walk away with. Is God worth it? What is God worth in your life to serve him? Is it the crumbs of your time? Or is it a commitment to allow God to see how he will use you and grow you in your priesthood to serve him? Okay? So just please just think about that. Pray about that. Pray about what is God worth for your time, and pray about what is your priesthood, and pray about how can God use you. And hopefully we as a body of believers will just up our game, be awesome for Jesus, and just really start shaking and rolling with what's going on in the church. There's a lot of work to do. There's ministries that can happen here that we don't have. There's ministries that can be helped to be made better or to run more smoothly. Everything from the ushers and the welcoming committee to the people who handle the money to just, I mean, everything, an outreach ministry, which has a million different ways that things can be done based on the people who God has brought to our body of believers who have a calling to do a particular job, right? There's just a million things that can be done. So please pray about it and help us with communication. We want to hear from you. We want to talk about things. We want to help people grow in their priesthood. So let's just do it together. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can be together in this group of people who are obviously here because they care about serving you. Lord, I thank you for every one of these folks. I thank you for the example of good Christian, biblical believers that you've put in my life that would help me grow. Lord, help us all to be the best we can be for you. Convict us to be better. Help us to be better. Show us your blessings and making us better, and help us to just remember and enjoy the peace and the value of just growing in our kingdom lives for you and our Christian walk with you. We just thank you ahead of time, Lord, for all the things that you're going to do here for us as individuals, the blessings that you have for us that we haven't claimed, and the work and the feelings of goodwill that we have towards others as we're serving them and the blessings that we receive from that as well, Lord. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you, that you called us into a priesthood, that you've given us the privilege to work in partnership with you to bless people. We just thank you so much for that, and it's all based on the fact that Jesus Christ died for us and loved us, that you would care for us so much. We thank you, Lord, ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. All right, so any other questions, feel free to contact myself or Chris, and we'll just see what happens from here forward. We'll just do some work.